Happy New Year. You're all very welcome this morning as we gather together to start the new year, 2023. And this morning we're going to be looking in Psalm 119, and we'll be looking at the section that starts with verse 129. So go to Psalm 119 and then turn over maybe a couple of pages to verse 129 in that section, 129 to 136. Longing for the Lord is our text this morning. So, have you ever longed for something? Have you ever longed for anything? A job, a house, a car, a child, a dream holiday, or anything else? Think about it. What have you longed for? What did you do? Did you research what you were desiring? Did you study what you were focusing on to see if that was attainable? Well, now let's change perspectives. And did you pray about it? Did you ask the Lord to help you with the decision? Did you ask for the Lord's wisdom and discernment? How did you respond when you made the decision? You know, we desired a second child, but we would need to adopt. We studied and researched a domestic and international adoptions. We researched the adoption laws for several different countries. We looked closely at the costs, weighing the costs of a domestic adoption with an international adoption, including the possibility of under-the-table bribes. We researched the problems we might face with a domestic adoption. The birth mother could decide she wanted the baby even after we had the child. International adoptions might require paying out extra to the orphanage, but we were not sure if this would go towards the kids' welfare or the pockets of the orphanage director. Some countries could call any child born in that country to active military duty, even if they were not a citizen of that country anymore. All of these issues were part of our research. Now, equally, we were praying for the Lord to bring the right child to us. We were praying that God would guide our decision-making process. We prayed that God was protecting our baby and that he or she had loving guardians. We prayed the baby would be healthy. And God answered our prayers. We got our first glimpse of Ian when he was about a month old. He was cared for by a career foster mother. That's the picture of him at 1 month old. And that's his picture from a couple of years ago. I should have done one from one of our hikes recently. But he was cared for by a career foster mother. She and her husband seemed to be wonderful with Ian. She sent a baby bag full of items for Ian, plus a photo album of his first few months, a letter from her to us in Korean, so we needed it translated, and a traditional outfit for Ian to wear on his first birthday. We paid for someone from the Eastern Adoption Agency to bring Ian from Seoul, Korea, to Los Angeles, and then a retired airline worker donated his miles to bring Ian from L.A., to Denver. So we went to the airport to get a baby. And God blessed us with a boy who is now at MTU Tralee and one of the smartest people I know. We rejoice as God shined his face down upon us, blessing us with Ian. Yet we are to have a greater longing for God's word. We are to be praying for the Lord to shine his face upon us, protecting us from the evil of this world. As much as we did the research in about adoptions and about and that God gifted us with Ian, even more so should we be researching God's word, studying God's word. Because we must give him the praise that's due him. And we should also weep for those who reject him. That is the focus of this section of Psalm 119, verses 129 to 136. And let me get it myself. Sorry, I should have had that ready. 129 to 136. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Yes, we can long for a dream holiday to Fiji, Hawaii, New Zealand, or wherever is a dream holiday destination for you. We can long for the perfect car or house we've always wanted, but these are just things. They will deteriorate, need constant maintenance, and eventually get sold for a newer model or fall in disrepair. The holiday will be a distant memory, only being able to really experience at one time. But God's word is greater than any earthly desire, because God's word never fails and is always trustworthy and true. The psalmist gives us three things to do when we long for God's word. So in this section, longing for God's word, we got three things. How do we long for God's word? Well, first, we keep God's word. Keep means to treasure God's word, to store up for future use. When we read and study God's word, that helps us to study, to store God's word in our memory. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us remember a verse or a phrase when we are sharing the gospel with someone. The writer in Proverbs wrote, "My son," in Proverbs 2, 1 to 5, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Not only do we treasure God's word, but we are to do so with diligence of hunting for hidden treasures. We want to find all the treasure in God's word to keep them safe in our hearts and minds. I mean, twice Luke tells us that Mary treasured these things in her heart concerning all the events that happened at Jesus' birth. These things were memories that she had of her son Jesus. Why did she treasure these things? Because they are wonderful. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. God's word is wonderful. Amazing, far greater than anything man can produce. This is why we should keep them and treasure them. Second, we study God's word. The unfolding of your word gives light. Well, how can the word unfold unless we study it? The phrase means to search and go deeper. To unfold something means to open something, peeling back layers like layers on an onion. Peeling back layers to find what is inside. We study God's word to reveal his truth. When we study, it is then the Holy Spirit who enlightens our minds. God's word gives light. The truth is revealed to us. The light bulb turns on. Aha! How often have you ever read the Bible and maybe a certain portion of scripture many times and then aha! You have that aha moment. It's like the light switch is turned on. The darkness that has covered your eyes for a certain truth has just now been revealed. I've been reading through the Psalms this year, and I'm on my third time through, and one phrase has caught my attention. Steadfast love. In Hebrew, it's hesed. And I was noticing this phrase in most Psalms, and after a quick search, I found it's in the Psalms over 120 times. In the Old Testament, so there are over 200 times. It is God's unchanging, unwavering love. It is a love that is impossible to change or divert. The light bulb in my mind lit up. And that's been a comforting treasure for me to find. Now, every time I see that phrase, it is an affirmation from God that His love for me will never falter, never fail. Steadfast love. Studying God's Word imparts knowledge to the simple, and that's me, the simple. I am the simple man who studies God's Word so that God can reveal His treasures to me. But if I do not understand, it is because I am a simpleton. I am unwise. And 15 times in Proverbs, someone is described as simple. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps." And then in a couple of verses later in 14:18, "The simple inherit folly." They inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The simple is someone who doesn't study, and they get what they deserve. But if they decide to study, then the light bulb would turn on, and they gain the knowledge of God. They become prudent. That's the difference between a simple person and a prudent person. And third, we desire God's word. I open my mouth and pant. This is a deep thirst for something. When you pant, you're in dire need of water. I remember playing basketball, and during our training, each time we took a break, it seemed I could not get enough water. And after training, it seemed like I would drink a gallon of water. My body craved water. That's what our soul should crave. Our desire and longing for the Word of God is so intense, we are panting for His Word. It is our life. God's Word sustains us during the spiritual droughts of our life. What did Jesus say about hungering and thirsting? On the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." The righteousness we hunger and thirst for is the righteousness of Christ. We hunger and thirst for our Savior, our Redeemer. Our desire must be for Christ. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." In John 4, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her that if she knew the gift of God that was before her, that was standing before her, she could receive the living water, meaning she could receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. And in John 7, it says that on the last day of the feast, the great day, which would have been Passover, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Our desire for God's word should be a deep longing to study, allowing Him to illuminate His truths to us so that we treasure His knowledge in our hearts and minds. We keep God's Word, we study God's Word, we desire God's Word, we hunger and thirst for His Word. And while we're doing this, what is our prayer to the Lord? Well, we have all these moments. We have all had these moments, those days or those weeks, maybe several times a day or just all day long. The moment is, "Lord, help me." When we need guidance, who do we go to? If God isn't our go-to person, if He isn't the only name on the list, you need a new list. Too often we go to the wrong sources for help. We need wisdom and guidance, so we go to a friend, a family member, a self-help guru, or someone who seems wise in the world. That's the problem. Seeking worldly wisdom is our biggest failure. Yes, we can go to a friend or a family member if they are a Christian, because God can speak wisdom through someone. But if we have not gone to the Lord first, then we must be careful of other sources that we've gone to. And the psalmist gives us four things that we can ask God for. What do we ask God? First, turn to me. Be gracious to me. Have mercy on me. Why? Because God loves us. If we love the Lord, then He loves to be gracious to His children. He is our Heavenly Father. Some earthly fathers are good men and good fathers, and some are not so good. All earthly fathers will fail you in some way, but God, our Heavenly Father, is perfect. His love never fails. His ways are perfect. He loves us and is gracious to us. As Jesus prayed for His disciples and ultimately all who believed in Him, He made the connection between God the Father, God the Son, and those who believe in the Messiah. In John 17, Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me. They have received them and have come to know in truth that I have come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. They have believed in Jesus, and since we have believed in Jesus, then God the Father will turn to us and be gracious to us. And second, because we believe in God and His Son, we go a step further and ask for God to keep me steady. This means to walk with me, establish my steps, be my guide as I am walking. I go out with walking groups twice a week. Sometimes we go up the mountains, and I'm using a walking stick to steady myself. Many times that stick has saved me from falling over. It steadies my balance and helps me stay upright, yet the stick may break or collapse on me and I would fall. I don't pray to the stick. I just extend it and tighten it and hope it doesn't fail me. And the stick is not much of a guide. It only goes when I decide to go. But God is the one that I can pray to and ask for guidance. The Lord has promised to uphold me. Jesus told us that we just need to join Him. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus said, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can go to Jesus with our problems. We can go to Jesus with our problems, our burdens, our anxieties, our fears, and He will carry them for us. He gives us rest. All the while we learn from Him. A yoke means we are attached to the Lord. We go where He leads. A young ox will be yoked to an old and experienced ox. The young ox would be trained by the older ox. So we ask this because we ask for God to keep us steady, because we desire to keep sin from having dominion over us. If we desire and long for God's word, then we do not desire and long for sin. We know that sin will continue to tempt us. So we ask for God to guide us. As Romans 12:2 says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't long or desire things of this world, but long and desire God and His Word. This is not a one-time decision on, I'll do this today. It's not an I'll do this today decision. It is a change of lifestyle decision. I decide to live for Christ all my days until He returns or calls me home. Third, we pray for the Lord to redeem us. And based on the text and the context, this is not salvation. The psalmist has already experienced salvation from the Lord. He is praying for protection from his enemies. He is asking God to take him out of a certain situation, a situation that is hindering his desire to live for the Lord. Redeem me from my oppressors so that I may keep your precepts. Keep, treasure, hold in my heart the word of the Lord. Have you found yourself in a situation, whether it was your own making or it just happened that way, that the situation was keeping you from worshiping God, or the situation was deeply hurting your relationship with God? Maybe you're in one right now. This is where you pray, God, give me guidance. Redeem me from this bind I am in. Give me wisdom to know what to do, or remove me from this somehow. In the last job I was in before we moved to Ireland 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago, was a Christian company, but the leadership of the company had been corrupt, had become corrupt. They were not godly men. The morale in the company had taken a nosedive quickly. I was there for 19 years, and I was ready to leave during those last 2 years. The new president came in during my last year, and a third of the company was fired, laid off, or forced out. I should have left, but my own pride and arrogance kept me there trying to fight the system, thinking I was in the right. I should have prayed, Father, just get me out of here, redeem me from the situation, but I didn't. And God did redeem me, but it was a very painful process because he basically pulled me out himself. If you're in a situation that is putting a strain on your relationship with God, then ask for him to help you. The ultimate goal is to be in a right relationship with the Lord. And the psalmist was praying for the Lord to save him from the evil in this world. It's not an easy world to live in, not for adults, especially not for kids. It's getting increasingly harder. This verse echoes the psalmist in Psalm 25, 19 to 22, when he says, "Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Redeem me, O God, out of all of my troubles. And then the fourth focus of prayer is asking God to teach us. We pray for the Lord to make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Now, the word for shine is the same as in verse 130 when it says, your words give light. The same word, the same context. Lord, illuminate your word in my heart and mind. Help me understand. Give me that big aha moment. I desire to know you better every day. I never want to stop learning, reading, studying your word. And God graces the psalmist. He blesses him by having his face shine upon him. He is blessed by spiritual illumination because the Lord is teaching him. Jesus explained to his disciples how they should learn, how they would learn. The Holy Spirit would be sent to teach them. In John 14, 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring in your remembrance all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit instructs us as we are reading and studying God's Word. Are you reading and studying? As you are reading and studying, pray for the Lord to help you. And when you are sharing the gospel with someone or having a conversation and a question is asked of you, the Holy Spirit will bring to mind what you have learned. He will give you the words to say. Jesus promised this in Luke 12. "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Now, the psalmist has suggested three things we do, that we keep or treasure God's testimonies. We study God's word because it reveals truth, and we desire or long for his commandments. Then the psalmist tells us to pray. How to pray? For the Lord to be gracious to us, to keep us steady in our relationship with him, to redeem us from this world, and to make his face shine upon us. But what about those who don't want anything to do with the Lord? What about those who do not care about His word? What about those who reject the Lord? What do we do? How do we respond? The psalmist says to weep, "My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law." The psalmist treasures God's word, and he weeps for people who do not treasure God's word. They do not see nor acknowledge the truth of God's word. We must be brought to tears for the world's lack of desire for God. We must be praying for the people that are lost, our friends, our family, our community. We only need to look around us, and we should weep streams of tears. Jesus wants us to have compassion. If He is our example to follow, then we must have compassion for the lost. In Matthew 9:35-38, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. And when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them, because they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And when he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." And in November, I walked an 8.5 mile portion of the Kerry Camino from camp to Aniskol. Now, these precious people I walk with are lost sheep in the eyes of God, some of them. We were walking a part of the road, and one man joked that we were sheep, walking all over the road. I laughed and said that the prophet Isaiah told us that we are all like sheep. We have gone astray, turning our own way, just like sheep do. And thankfully, the Lord looks after us and He searches for us. And the man laughed and said he was the black sheep. And I said, "Well, the Lord searches for those too." And as Jesus approached Jerusalem and was looking over the city in Luke 19, and when He drew near and saw the city, He wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day that the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes." Jesus wept for a city that should have known the truth but did not. They were veiled from the truth. Our county, our country is veiled from the truth, veiled from the light of Christ. We must weep and pray for the face of the Lord to shine down on Killarney, on Kerry, on all of Ireland, that the veil would be lifted from their eyes and that they would be saved. Not only are we to weep and pray, but we must go. We must be the city set on the hill, shining the light of Christ for all to see. We must take the gospel to our community so that they will know. Jesus challenged the disciples in Mark 16, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So my challenge for you, for Grace Baptist, is that we be praying for the Holy Spirit to move in the hearts of our community, in County Kerry and throughout all Ireland, that people would turn to Jesus and be saved, that men would heed the call to preach the gospel. The churches would be full, more churches would be planted, that every community would have a church that focuses on preaching the word of God. Now let me close by sharing a song that is inspired by this portion of Psalm 119. You can feel free to sing along. Let me just read the words to the first verse and chorus, and then we'll sing through it. "Lord, let your light of your face shine on us. Lord, let your light of your face shine on us, that we may be saved, that we may have life, to find our way in the darkest night. Let your light shine on us." May The light of the Lord shine on you this new year, 2023.